Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Vineyard in Wickliffe. Say good morning to those online this morning. Good morning, online people. We are so excited to be here this morning. I think whether you had an amazing week, you were the mountain or you were the valley, what a great space to be in community with each other. So we're going to worship this morning through our music, and then Pastor Jim's going to bring worship through the word this morning and continue, actually finish our mission series. And we're going to bless our children in our service before we get started. So if Pastor Denise wants to come up and bless our service, we'll go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, join me. Father God, I just ask that you will just bless our children, Lord, from the littlest of the littles through the youth. I just pray, Father God, that you prepare their hearts to receive all that you have for them today. I pray, Father God, that you empower the leaders to speak your words today. I pray that your spirit rests heavy in those different classrooms today, that the thickness is undeniable, that we know that your spirit is there, and that your presence is just going to be all over everyone, Lord. And we just too ask, Lord God, for this sanctuary, that your spirit will rest heavy in this place. Let there be a thickness in this room also, Lord. Let everyone that walks out those doors feel that they have gotten some God on them today and that they can carry it through their week. Bless each and every person here. Bless our worship team and bless Jim with his message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So however you feel comfortable to worship, please do. I want to say now's not the time to hold back. We're here to worship God this morning, right? So we're going to do that.
Sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to be. Your love made a way to let mercy come when death was arrested in my life. Was redeemed only through believing, and my orphan heart was given alive. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance when death was arrested. Oh, you're
Before he spoke creation, the God of heaven knew our name. Formed in his reflection, we are his glory on display. And his heart is good, he's always the cross he proved, he's on my side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, daughters of God. Go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to be. Thank you.
We're going to continue in our worship this morning with our offering. Our verse comes out of 1 Corinthians. Because on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you meet us here and that we can be here together just to worship your name. Thank you that you fill the gaps. We don't have to be enough because you are enough, Jesus. Bless this offering as it was given this morning. Help us to use this to further your kingdom here, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Wasn't Kaylee's voice beautiful today? Let's hear it for the whole worship team. Thank you, worship team. You were awesome. Spectacular. All right. Well, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning. We're excited you're here, whether you're on Facebook with us or YouTube later. We're excited that you're going to be a part of us today. If you are new or just want to get a great way to get connected, stay connected, get one of our connection cards with the QR code. You can locate it in the seat back, or you can get them at the welcome when you come in. We're excited that you would want to know more about us and what the VCC is all about. Today, Pastor Jim is preaching in our series, The Mission of Vineyard Community Church. Today's message is, our mission is serving others with Christ's love. And that's from Philippians 2, 3 through 5. So you can grab your Bible, phone, bulletin, whatever. And again, we do an awesome job here at the Vineyard doing that. And one of the ways that you can be involved in serving others with Christ's love is our Food Resource Center. It is open this week on Monday from 4:30 to 6. You can do the food box prep. Tuesday, drive-through food pantry, 11 to 3, set up and prep. 4 to 7:30, distribution and cleanup. So come and help and be blessed. And again, that's the way we serve others with Christ's love. Are you crafty? Could you be crafty? Would you want to be crafty? Crochet or knitting your thing? Join our prayer shawl ministry. Prayer shawl ministry is Friday, May 1st. May Day, May Day, May Day. We're getting towards May, folks. They meet in the classroom 3 on the first Friday of the month, and you can contact Kathy O'Brien if you're interested. Now is a good time to connect with our small groups in spring session. This session is happening until June 13th, then there'll be a 2-week break, start back June 29th. Check out the bulletin. There's all kinds of small groups, and again, a couple of new ones, so find one that fits. I've been blessed through the years with our men's group, so find one that fits for you. Another save the date is our Stamp Out Food Hunger Drive, which is May 9th. We need volunteers from 10 to 4 here at Vineyard. We can use your help later in the afternoon. Come be a part of this ministry. So this is part of what we do with the post office. People, they go out and collect the food, and then we get it here and use it in the Food Resource Center. So come and help out with that. Also coming up is our annual rummage sale, May 26th and 27th, 12 to 6. The sale is 29th and 30th from 10 to 2. So we got setup, donation, and then actual sale. Proceeds will support our many, many, many ministries and outreaches. Sign up today to help in the lobby. And with that, it's time for the man, the myth, the legend, Pastor Jim.
Good morning. All I have to say is, the Lord is in this place. Oh, that song crushes me every time. Just think of the words, I'm not enough. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again, right? And then I was just like, God was kind of doing something in my heart. And he said, you know, it's the bridge of the song, but it says, not for a minute. Was I forsaken? The Lord is in this place. I don't know about you, but it's those kind of words. I know it's a song and we sing and we have music, and but not for a minute was I forsaken. There's just, you know, God's love is seeping through that. We get to those points maybe in our life or a journey or in our week that maybe just that line, not for a minute, Lord, though was I forsaken. Because you're with me, right? Sorry, that's not what I'm sharing about today, but the Lord is in this place. Well, welcome again. Welcome to our friends online. My name is Pastor Jim, as Marvin said. The man, mostly the myth. And I've only been a legend since 68, so it's all good. Today, as Marvin said, we're going to be finishing up our mission series. We did 2 weeks or 3 weeks before, or whatever it was before Lent, and we did Lent in our Holy Week, and then we came back to finishing up the series, which is super important. This is the mission of the church. And one of the things that, for Denise and I, when we were in this process of transitioning in and working with Brent and Teresa and working with Don and other people in the vineyard, they kept just saying, listen, there's got to be something that you seek the Lord with, that he has this thing for your church. And not that Brent and Teresa didn't have that, because they did. And one of the cool parts about all of this is that we are standing on the foundation of 30-some years that Brent and Teresa have laid for this church. And for us, we got to the point where we said, "What can, Lord, what would you have us do?" And we really believe that it was really bringing into a succinct understanding of a mission for our church. Because we do a lot. But doing a lot and then understanding that the mission calls us to not only do a lot, but it calls us to be a lot and to share a lot and to teach a lot. So our mission statement, we have, I put this, it's the pillars of the five things that we've been talking about, we've been sharing about. So it's sharing the message of Jesus we've talked about, making disciples, building community. Denise shared last week about personal growth, about abiding in the vine. And today we're going to be talking about serving others with Christ's love, right? So the cool part is these all can be looked at and be worked individually, but you know, there's also this idea of them being worked collectively. One of the challenges that we keep pressing out and just keep wanting people to know that this list is never ending, meaning that when you start on one and you go through the other four, you just hit the repeat button and you go back and you start again and you repeat and you repeat. Because can we share the name of Jesus too much? Can we invite people to our community too much? Should we be inviting people to our community? Okay, for the other 30 in the room, yes, could we? Should we? Yeah. So, Father, today we just pray. That song has just pierced my heart today. Not for a minute were we forsaken, because you're in this place, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Whether it's a great week or a challenge week, let the dryness in us awaken. Those dry bones be shaken. Rebirthing with new life, for the Lord is in this place. Lord, you're too great for words to even talk about. And thank you that we can just be instead of having to understand completely who you are and be in relationship with you, Lord. Come today and mend hearts that need mending. Bring encouragement to those who need encouraged. And Lord, please open our ears and our minds and our eyes to see all you're doing today. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think we're just going to, sprinkle through the message, not for a minute, for I was forsaken, just because it's so good. But today we're going to be talking about acts of service, like serving. And you can see I have a brand spanking new FRC shirt. Thank you. It's our food resource center. How many people know we have a food bank or a food pantry? Every hand should be up in the place. If you don't think we do, just look in the corner over there. Yeah. Serving. So you can see the picture. This is from our Christmas for Kids program this past year. And yes, it's snowing out. Yes, it was cold. And yes, my son has shorts on. He hasn't changed in 30 years. But we're a community that serves. And that's amazing. From our pantry to Christmas for Kids, you know, from our benevolence program. Sometimes I think we just forget about benevolence, but benevolence serves our community. There's times when people need help, whether they need to be moved or they have something going on in their house that they need help with. I know we do, and it's nice to have a community that you can call on. You see a neighbor that needs help. In my challenges with just walking and moving, our neighbor that we've known now since we've been in the house, he'll come over and he'll plow our driveway. And he'll come over, and if he sees the trash cans out too late, he'll come and he'll bring them in. That's a neighbor. That's serving. Maybe if it's just seeing somebody on the side of the road, and you stop, can I help? Can I make a call? Right, I know the other side, the safety part, and I get that. But you know what? If God's telling you to pull over, he's going to provide your protection too. You know? Because I think the excuse comes a lot quicker than us trusting in what God's doing. But there's also a challenge too, because we can take this idea of serving and we could be busy all the time with it, right? And today what I really want to share about is that the model that Jesus calls us to when he calls us to serve? I remember early on in the church, one of the things Denise and I just really felt, because we couldn't contribute financially a ton to the church, we did everything else we could. We painted walls and we cleaned carpets and we were here, it seems like, 6 days a week. Because we just thought, oh my gosh, the value that we can bring to the church is we just need to serve. And we were forgetting about our kids. So we had somebody so nicely in the church sat us down and just was like, what are you doing? And he spoke just the idea of what service should be, not to be busy by it, that we don't gain any extra points, right? Because sometimes we serve maybe because there's nothing better else to do, right? We have people who serve because they've been ordered to serve, right? Our community service people. And we are so blessed. I can't say that enough. Not only from the challenges that, you know, people think, oh my gosh, no, they've been court ordered to serve. But when they get here, one of the things we do very first is just we show them that we love them. But they serve because they're ordered. And then sometimes it's to fulfill a voluntary need, right? We have local high schools that they need certain volunteer hours to go ahead and graduate. And there's companies around us that have quarterly plans that they say, we want you to go out and be serving the community. Why? Why in a business do they say, hey, take time out of your business day, out of your work day, and serve? Because there's a fulfillment, but there's a fulfillment to it when we do it the right way, right? There's challenges when we do it the wrong way because, and I've seen it over and over and over again with people, they want to hit the ground running. They're so fired up and, man, week after week for the first few weeks, they cannot be stopped. And then slowly but surely, some things change, right? Because first of all, maybe they start griping a little. They get bored. Maybe they're tired. Right? Has the work changed? No. Right? Or sometimes you get to that point where you're just not motivated to show up. Oh, you know what? It's 2 degrees colder than I normally like, so I don't think I'm going to be there today. And then slowly but surely you start planning something else in that place. Why do you think that happens? I think because at a very short time, at a very short pace, we can do anything over and over again because we believe that maybe we're serving. We believe that maybe God's calling us this way to serve. But ultimately, if God's not in it, if we're not doing for the right motives, boredom does creep in. Tiredness does creep in. The grumpies do creep in. In our pantry sometimes, we have people sometimes through the years that, like, I hear them talk and I'm like, why did you even show up today? Seriously. Like, I can go out and pick up sticks and throw them, not throw cans of food. Just don't be grumpy. Find something else. But that's the reality when we think about what God calls us to do when it comes to service. And that's why it was important for us to say when we serve others with Christ's love. Because that really frames what we talk about when we think about service. So today we're going to look at Philippians in your bulletin and in the scripture. It shows you verses 2 through 5. But as I was studying it this week, I think we're going to expand that a little bit from 1 to 8. Because I think it'll really encompass kind of what I think God wanted to share today when it comes to this understanding of how we serve with Christ's love. When we think about it, Philippians was written by Paul. He was actually in prison when he wrote it. Philippians was a church that I think was the second church started. You can look that up in Acts. But it wasn't that the church in Philippi was like, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were actually thriving. Paul was writing the letter to encourage and keep encouraging the people, the Philippians, to keep doing what God's called them to do. But the other thing I found out was that the book of Philippians, it's four chapters long, so it isn't really a big book, but it's actually called the Book of Joy. Well, anybody know that? I didn't know that, so good for me. In the four chapters, the first chapter is the joy in suffering, which I still have to think through in my mind. Joy and suffering, it's like jumbo shrimp. They don't really go together. Joy in suffering. And then the chapter we're going to look at today is chapter 2. It's the joy in serving. And chapter 3 is the joy in believing. And chapter 4, we talked about earlier in our generosity series, but it's the joy in giving. So we're going to step out. If you have your Bibles or your devices, or I'll have the scripture up on the screen, we're going to start verse 1, chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Verse 6 starts, who, being very nature God, did not consider equal with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in the appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now, there is a lot in these 8 verses. When we look at our mission statement, we look at the mission statement, and here's what Denise and I, when we're looking at supporting each one of these statements of our mission with Scripture, it's verses 2 through 5, and it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Wow. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that's the scripture we chose to support when we think about serving others with Christ's love. And you don't have to look far, and there's not a lot of misinterpretation when we think of those three scriptures, because it's basically saying, in order to love like Jesus, you have to love others first, and then yourself. And that's what we're going to unpack today. As we look, there's two words that I think Paul uses when we see in this section of Scripture. He uses two words. One is joy and one is humility. And in verse 2, he says this. He says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. So when you think of joy, what do you think of? I don't think, in some ways, joy is not necessarily a word that's widely used today, is it? When's the last time you talked to somebody and they're like, man, I am full of joy? Yeah, the same thing I was, I don't know. We can say I'm happy, right? Or sad or angry. But when we look at joy, I loved this, the way this person described it. It says, joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives. Think of that. Joy. Do we create joy in our lives? Or do we experience joy being confident in the assurance of God's love for us, right? That he will be there no matter what. So when we think of happiness, right, happiness depends on things happening, like things going on in our lives. But joy depends on Christ. Well, that took me back just a second. Joy depends on Christ. So if I can get to that place where I feel joy, joy in a real sense is that connection or that relationship that I'm kind of firing all cylinders with Jesus at that moment, right? If we move on to verse 3, we see that Paul talks about humility and he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Wow. Or vain conceit. Look at me. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interest of others. My gosh, would this world be different if that was something that we lived by? Man, we live in a culture today that is so me first. Me first. Paul shares that there's this word humility, and it Christ showed true humility when he laid aside his rights and privileges as God to become human. He poured out his life to pay the penalty that we deserve, laying aside self-interest. Why did he do these things? Why? And here's where I think the shift happens when we think about serving with Christ's love, is that we are to take Christ's attitude in serving others, because we have to give up ourself, right? We have to give up the selfishness in our life to be able to serve with joy, to serve with love, and to serve with kindness. Joy, love, and kindness isn't necessarily anything that I personally manufacture myself. Because I'm more like grumpy and angry and irritated, right? There's things that, like, when I think about sometimes even being interrupted in my day to be able to be called on to serve somebody that doesn't fit my plan, I don't necessarily go into it with joy, love, and kindness. Right? But when we think about that, when we think about what Jesus did for us, and this is really, I think, where the exchange happened, what Jesus did for us really gives us the blueprint or the picture of just not only how we serve, but why we serve. How many here just love to be at the front of the line or go first? Like, if there's something going on, you're like, pick me, pick me. Nobody? Well, you guys are so much more righteous than me. Right? How many people like to be standing in the line at amusement park for an hour and a half and then see just a family of four walk up and go right to the front of the line? How many of you love that? Do you love that? I don't like it. I want to be the person that gets, right? So we want to be first, right? We want to win. We want to have that mentality of part of it is what we get, but part of it is look at what I'm. Look. How many people want to be picked last for a kickball game? Do you guys even know what kickball is? I know we're an old enough community, but I'm sure some of them be kickball. What? All right, here we go. How many want to be picked last for pickleball? That seems to be the rage. I don't, you know. I mean, it's the hybrid of tennis and ping pong, right? Somebody in between just said, oh, pickleball. And you've lost me because I don't like pickles, so I don't get it. back to here. We think about it. And it's pretty normal, really, that we just get to that place where yeah, we want to be noticed. Yeah, we want to say, yeah, cool. You know, I think of, I don't know if Anybody who's a Goodfellow movie watcher, I've watched Goodfellows over the years, and there's a scene in there that kind of goes to this. And it's, oh, you want to get that? Might be Goodfellows calling. Hello? Sorry, I'm not embarrassing. It was just funny for me. There goes the phone. Goodfellows. Well, there was a scene where he walks in through the back door, and they walk by all these people waiting to get into this nightclub, and they walk past through lines and lines of people, and they go right to the front, and the maitre d' goes, oh, you're here. And it was Henry and his girlfriend, and all of a sudden he snaps his finger, and these two guys come with a table, and they bring the table in, and they set it and the space on the floor, and they bring two chairs, and literally within 10 seconds the table's set up and they sit down. So the guy that was first in line waiting was like, what is going on here? But yeah, doesn't that, like, that would make me feel special, right? When we look, especially when this chapter is called The Joy of Serving, Paul is teaching us something different, because I don't know about you, but in my journey with Jesus, there seems to be places most of the time when he's teaching that says, hey, instead of jumping in the river and swimming with the current, he says, what I need you to do is jump in the river and I need you to swim against the current. Why? Because it's different than from what everybody else is doing. And here, this may seem a little bit backwards or sound a little bit backwards. But in this whole passage, Jesus is sharing and Paul is sharing that says, in order for us to experience the magnitude of joy, love, and kindness in serving with Christ's love, is that it has to be more about the other person than it is about us. When we just look at chapter 2, the very beginning of it, it's Paul like saying, he says, hey, if you really love Jesus and you want to follow him, then you should care about each other more than you care about yourself. You should care about each other and work together to be the community like we talked about a couple weeks ago. In reality, Paul is saying, and also Jesus is teaching, you need to be kind to one another. You need to help each other. Together, we need to be a team and a community. I was just so proud and overwhelmed a couple weeks ago. We did a celebration of life service for Jim Rebar. And her and Jan and the family showed up, an extended family. And a group of people came to that service to help. Because the main part was for them to have to not worry about anything. And our community came together and we served each other not only, but we served the Rebars with Christ's love. Was there food? Yes. Was there a service? Yes. There was all these things that we did, but nothing mattered or nothing usurped the feeling they had of being taken care of and being loved. And that's what our community is about. That's what we're talking about right here when we talk about serving. Paul continues to say as we move into verse 3, don't be selfish. Man, that's so easy. You know, where I see it, not necessarily the attitude of selfishness, but our 2-year-old grandson, it's his. You can't touch his trains. You can't touch his dinosaurs. If he lets you, you can. But where do we get that? There's an importance. There's a value. And I think ultimately throughout time, maybe that selfishness comes because we either value what we have greater than things around us, or we value what or who we want greater than those around us. Because doesn't selfish always mean like it's about me? Selfish, right? Humility is when we start thinking about others, right? Or at least we get to that place where we don't matter as much. I talk about it in, I'm pretty sure, every wedding ceremony I've ever done. I love this picture of selflessness, where in order for a marriage to thrive and succeed, even through the greatest times and the most challenging times, is for me, I have to care more about Denise's feelings and who she is than I do about myself. And vice versa, she has to care more about me and put herself aside. So in a reality, in a relationship like that, when we're serving others, we experience love for one another versus maybe serving out of disdain or serving out of, and my gosh, I have just felt this over the last probably 3 or 4 months because there's not a lot I can do. So when my laundry needs to be done, who does it? Denise does. When I'm hungry and I can't necessarily get up and fix something, Denise makes my meals. And it's so hard. Like, the one thing I don't really love to do, but it's ingrained in me from my dad, is like, do the yard, cut the grass, do all that stuff. That's the first time she had to cut the grass this year, I was heartbroken. But it's the serving, right? It's putting others' needs above yourself. And that's what we see here. Paul continues as we look into verse 4 about thinking about others and don't just think about yourself. Because you know what? If you come in and somebody's sad, do you notice them? My favorite saying long, long time ago was, sucks to be you. What kind of attitude or position that is? Like you're on the side of the road broken down? Sucks to be you. Until God changes your heart. He changed my heart. And then, well, first of all of a sudden when I'm the one broke down on the side of the road, it's almost like I watched cars go by with signs hanging out their windows. Sucks to be you. Sucks to be you. Sucks to be you. Curses! Do you get what I'm saying? When we start letting just the heart of Jesus change our heart, we understand that those are the things that are going to motivate us to serve others with Christ's love. If someone needs help, this church is amazing. I love it when somebody asks for help. And I don't necessarily feel, matter of fact, I'm not a fix-it guy. So if you need something fixed, I can point you to people who can fix things. But if you need something broken or destroyed, I'm your guy. But it's a need, right? If I can't figure it out, or if the church can't figure it out, I'm pretty sure there's somebody in the room that knows somebody who can figure it out. And the other big thing is, man, people on the fringe. There's been probably a half a dozen people in my life that have been amazing examples that seek out the people on the sidelines, that nobody gets unnoticed in a room, in a space, in a place. There was one time we a bunch of us jumped on our motorcycles and ran. We rode out to Chagrin Falls, and we were stopping to get ice cream and just relax, listen to the falls. And next you know, Brent disappears, and I'm like, where did Brent go? And if you've ever known Chagrin Falls, there's this bridge that crosses over the falls, and there was a gentleman sitting on the other side by himself. And it's, you know, it was during the day, there were people around, but he just seemed a little disheveled by himself. Next thing you know, Brent went over and started talking to him. And Brent spent the whole time with that guy, which all of us, everybody who rode with Brent, were like, why did you go? You left us. We wanted to spend time with you. Not really. But he just ended up connecting with that guy, and they ended up talking about Jesus, you know? Looking to the fringe, looking to those who maybe just been outcast, or, you know, is there any example in the Bible like that, maybe? You may want to do a study. I think there's one or two that you can find. One of the writers I read said, it's like having a kindness meter or kindness radar, right? You're always looking for ways to care. And that's different for me because sometimes I'm looking for ways to get out of it. But here's where it changes, and here's where I think this flip happens when we look at verse 5. And basically verse 5 says, have the same attitude as Jesus. So what was Jesus like? Think about that. What does that mean? Have the same attitude as Jesus. And here's why I extended the scripture for our reading this week. If we look at verses 6 through 8, we're still in Philippians 2. It says this, and we've used this in the past for some of the other series we've done already this year, but just listen to this. It says, Paul's talking about Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. This is the same attitude we're thinking about with Jesus. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. One writer says this, Philippians 2:7, says the primary source stating that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus did not stop being God at all, but he chose to lay aside his divine power and his glory, living with human limitations and relying on the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that always has kind of been this lingering question in my mind. Like, how does Jesus still be Jesus and become fully man? Not only that, but what an amazing picture of this idea of joy, love, and kindness, but the love of Jesus saying, no, wait a second. In order for me, like, he absolutely, people wanted the Savior to come back, what? As a warrior, right? As a conqueror. They wanted him to come back to absolutely take over everything. But what a picture, especially here in Philippians, that he came back and he came as a form, not only in human form, not to conquer, but to serve. To serve. There's the blueprint. There's the teaching that Jesus does right here and right now when it says, when we want to embrace, when we get to that place where we're serving others, and the foundation of why we serve is not from selfish ambition and this inward out. It's the idea that in order for people to experience the love of Christ, they have to be served. In order for us to experience the love of Jesus, the joy and the kindness, we have to become servants. Something I learned along the way, there's this in these verses, and it goes to 11, but through verses 6 through 11, it's also a name I've never heard, or maybe I'd heard it through the teachings through VLI, but it's called the Kenosis Hymn. And Paul pulls from it. It's a Christian hymn that Paul is quoting from in these scriptures. And when we think of kenosis, the Greek word is kanao. And I don't know Greek, but I thought it would be really cool. So now you know at least a Greek word. Kanao sounds Indian to me, but it could be Greek. That means to empty. It's the concept of Christ's self-emptying, where he voluntarily relinquished divine attributes to take on human form. My gosh. In doing so, it emphasizes humility, obedience, divine love, defining in nature of God's power as serving rather than dominating. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to just embrace this opportunity and this idea that in order for us, in a real sense, to be connected and walking alongside you and to be in stride with you, it's not what's in it for me. It's what can we be doing for others. When we think about this whole emptying himself, what does that mean? When we think about it, to clarify, God or Jesus didn't stop being God. That's something super important to understand. But he set aside the privileges of who he is as a God, right? But he chose limitations. This was something that really connected with me. So he enters as a human, but now he has time and space and even flesh of limitations that aren't limitations to us, but that's how we exist, right? We exist in time, space, and with these flesh suits on. And here's the important part that we just can't gloss over, that we realize that he took the form or he took the role of a servant. He needed the Father's will. We see many times where he stopped along the way and he prayed, right? And he sought the Father. It's what we need to do. But he did all this even, and let's not forget the last few words of that scripture up until 8. He said, even to death on a cross. The ultimate gift that we have, that we've received from him. So think of it this way. Jesus went from heaven to earth. He left the glory. He went from God to man. He took on these flesh suits. From king to servant. He didn't come to dominate. He came to wash feet and serve others. And from life to death, even obedience to death on the cross. And here's the model, right? And here's the thing I think that we strive for, or we should be striving for. Jesus always chose love, kindness, and humility. He helped people. He fed people. He cared for people. And he put others before himself always. Right? If you want to know the attitude of Jesus, there it is. Help others, feed others, care for others, and put others before yourself. That's when we talk about serving others with Christ's love, is putting them first, choosing humility, and in a real sense, we look out for other people. My gosh, before I even understood this at any level, there were so many people that looked out for Denise and I in this church. It was amazing. Because when we choose others, when we choose to do kind things for others, when we put people's needs before ours, we are serving like Jesus teaches. Because remember, Jesus didn't talk about love. He showed love. One of the things that just made a whole lot of sense for me was when we think about serving like Jesus, it's more about the condition of our heart than the act of service we are doing. Let me say that one more time. When we think about serving like Jesus, it's more about the condition of our heart than the act of service we are doing. Because sometimes I think if we go out and we do things, and not that I can't say that we don't learn like that, because I believe I learned like that a long time ago, that it is. It's about doing stuff. And then you realize, well, why am I doing it? And if you're doing it for this reason, it may end here. But if you're doing it because you believe that you've been called, or you're serving with the foundation of Jesus' love in your heart, it ends up in a different place. Let me just end with this. Kind of an easy way, easy thing to remember. Think about the word joy, but as an acronym, J-O-Y. So J equals Jesus first, O equals others second, and Y equals yourself last. That's what serving like Jesus looks like. Amen? Amen. Do you have a different picture of serving today? Yes, Jim, what an amazing teaching you did. I'm going to take that as a home run for me. You know, it's something to think about. And the greatest thing as being a part of this church for so many years is this church community has a heart to serve. And not because we want to go around telling people the numbers we have for our pantry or the number of families we served for Christmas for kids. It stems out of the fact that we want to be in a place where we're doing what we believe God's called us to do. I don't know if you knew this, but a few years ago, one of the things, the numbers for Christmas for kids kept going up, 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 and up, right? And we were serving hundreds of families at the time. And the one Christmas for kids, man, we ran from 8 o'clock until it seemed like 9 o'clock that night. Just was a long day. And we sat down before the next year, before we even thought about the next year's program, and, you know, we all got to the same agreement that, you know what, it wasn't about the number of people we served, but it was truly about being able to serve each family that came, whether it was 10 or 20 or whatever the number was, but we needed to do it in such a way that we were able to show God's love to each family that came in. Because truly the busiest year we had, it was really just this processing plant for people. You came in, sit down, you know, you got to get up, go to the stuffing or the stocking stuffing, get up and go in here, back through, get your stuff wrapped, get out the door, get the people, they both just kept going like this. This conveyor belt of people. But you know, one of the greatest gifts we get to do when people come and they come in this room and they shop for CFK is that we teach and train the chaperones that we have to be able to pray for those people. And you know what you need when you need to pray? You need time. When we put the love of Christ first, we stop worrying about some of the things that we think other people may look at and go, man, that's such an amazing program. We don't want it to be an amazing program. We want people to meet Jesus. We want people to feel Christ's love. Not only that, but we want the volunteers to be able to experience sharing and serving out of the call that Jesus has on our life. Amen? Awesome. Now, as a service project, get ready. We've had somebody deliver 60 shovels. We want each of you to take a scoop of stone and put it over it. I'm just kidding. There you go. Next week, service project. We need some people to bring shovels and some people to bring stone, right? No, I am, and we are super blessed to have a community that loves to serve. But where I want us to keep the focus of what we do and why we do, not because we want the star or we want the smiley face or we want to check it off on a list somewhere. We want to experience the love, joy, and kindness through the acts of serving that Jesus gives to us. First of all, because we're modeling that he didn't come to conquer, he came to serve. Not only that, people see the kindness, the love, and the joy. And guess what? Gives us a chance to maybe say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? If you like what you see here, or if you want to experience it more, why don't you show up on a Sunday? It piques that interest, right? Just like I said, when we think about our mission in these five areas puts us aside and put Jesus right to the forefront. Even when we're doing and thinking about our personal growth, it's not personal growth to maybe get bigger or have more muscle, but our personal growth is to have a deeper relationship with who Jesus is in our life. So, Father, we just thank you today. Lord, we serve, hopefully not because we want the glory or we want the accolades. We serve, and Lord knows, I think about our pantry and the just amount of work that goes in week in and week out. And I say that not because it's like, look at all the work we're doing, but look at the people who show up faithfully week in and week out. Not because of the work, but hopefully because they're experiencing this part of serving that's just not only satisfying in some ways, but that they can say that there's a joy or there's a love or a kindness in that. Let that be something that just transfers over to whatever we're doing, from relationships here in this room, to the different outreaches or the different service projects we do throughout the year through the community. Ultimately, Jesus, we want to glorify your name. And we want each person, we want others really in the big picture, to experience the fullness of your love through the things that we do and we say and we share. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if anything stirred in your heart, or if there's anything that you would want prayer for, please, we're going to invite our prayer team up to pray. You can come forward. You can ask somebody to pray for you in your chairs. My encouragement is go out today. Make sure, and when your GPS goes on, make sure you turn your kindness radar on. And maybe look to see. I don't think you have to look far. Maybe look to see what Jesus might be calling you to do or who he may be calling you to serve. Have a blessed week, everybody.